Dan Evans is former general manager of the LA Dodgers. He was a Toronto Blue Jays scout as well, longtime baseball executive. He's now COO of This Is Heaven LLC, the folks who will be operating the Field of Dreams. And we talked about how successful the Field of Dreams game was this year. Dan, thank you so much for joining Kevin Barker and myself. Before we talk about the World Series, I did want to ask you about the Field of Dreams and the concept, because, you know, as someone who watched that game, obviously it was a big success. We talked about how good it looked on TV. The fact that it was a good game made it even better. But, you know, I remember when the NHL first came up with the concept of outdoor games, and a lot of us kind of rolled our eyes and said, well, this is great. That'll last for one game, and then people are going to realize that the idea of holding a football game at Michigan Stadium and outdoors is just stupid and we'll never do it again. And of course, now there's five or six of them every year. I wanted to ask you, did baseball stumble on something here? And what I mean by that is, do you foresee this as being a unique occurrence? Or, I don't know, Dan, might we see, the Giants and Dodgers playing a game at some, you know, some park in San Francisco there that was a Pacific Coast Stadium at one time or something like that? Because it does seem to me that it really got a lot of people's attention.
Well, Jeff, first of all, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it. You know, the Field of Dreams is such a unique venue, and it means something for so many different people. I think one of the things that we envisioned 2.5 years ago when we first approached Major League Baseball was the uniqueness of the venue, the fact that we could keep it a very innocent setting without a lot of signage, with the corn surrounding the field. And Major League Baseball and their collaborative partners, Jeff, did a fabulous job putting a stadium on that ground that didn't take away whatsoever from the iconic look that everybody wants to have. We look at this as a long-term possibility. We've already announced that we have a game next year between the Reds and the Cubs. We're looking at a potential long-term relationship with Major League Baseball. And I think what Frank Thomas and I envision is keeping the game as clean and crisp as we can, relying on the roots that baseball has that makes that game pristine and makes it innocent, and not over-commercializing it, keeping the focus on the game itself, yet doing some things to make it a real special environment on an annual basis. The community, the state, the city, the county have been wonderful partners. And, Jeff, I look forward to multiple games over the next few years.
Dan, was there any good feedback from the players that played in that game?
Kevin, unbelievable. Amazing. The best part for me was members of the Yankees bullpen being lost before the game because they were in the corn maze. We got incredibly positive support. The other thing we realized is that the general public watched this game more than any other regular season game in the last 16 years. So the people who didn't watch it in August of this year, my guess is because everybody's talked to them about it, they're going to be watching again. And everything I've been doing since we bought the ownership shares about 3 weeks ago, everything I've received is nothing but positive feedback for future.
Yeah, as we said, it was such a unique concept, and it really did. I admit I was a little skeptical about how the players would react to it, because I think we've seen, Dan, and I'm sure you'd agree, you know, time and again, baseball, the players do step up and deliver for baseball. But what amazed me is I just looked at the logistical issues, and I thought, this is just going to be, it's like anything else. The more links you have in a chain, the more chance that perhaps one of those links will fail and the whole thing will come apart. But boy, it seemed as if it pretty much went off like clockwork.
Well, it's pretty amazing the collaborative effort that went on between around 8 or 9 different entities. And Jeff and Kevin, you've been to a ton of games, and you know I've been to some of the winter NHL classics. I love hockey. To me, it was not getting over your skis and make the focus the game and the field. We did that start to finish. Even the positioning of the field was all about retaining the look and the vibe. We didn't make it an over commercialization. And I think that's what people appreciated. But for me, the coolest part about it was the genuine excitement that people had from both teams, from Major League Baseball. And guys, I mean, you both know that I've been around the game for 40 years. I got lots of friends. People calling me the next day saying, hey, we'd like to be in future games. We would love to be a part of this in the future. That, to me, at its core, very organically, people love the event, and they'd really like to be a part of it moving forward.
Now, Dan, in your time as president and GM of the Dodgers, you did a lot of really good drafting, a lot of shrewd trading. You know, the Dodgers 2004 West Division Championship team, a lot of your DNA on it. In Chicago, that 2000 Central Division team, I mean, you, Frank Thomas, Robin Ventura. I mean, that was just such a good team. What do you think when you look at these two teams in the World Series right now, and the fact that, you know, I'm looking particularly at the Atlanta Braves, and yeah, they made some major acquisitions at the trade deadline that obviously had a significant impact, but the Braves are built on good international drafting, good drafting in general. I'm thinking of guys like Freeman and Riley and Albies and Acuna, who's now hurt, and their pitchers. And same thing with Houston. You look at Houston, and they've been together for a while, but kind of their guys, right? The core, for the most part, are Astros guys. What do you, as a baseball executive, think when you see these two teams?
Well, first of all, I love Alex Anthopoulos, and I think he's one of the shrewdest people I've ever worked with or for in the game. Blue Jay fans know how good he was. He was fabulous. And our clubs in 15 and 16 were entertaining and energetic. What he did at the deadline was remarkable. Just where they were in early July to where they are today in Game 3 of the World Series, that's an amazing thing. But I think both clubs, and I think you nailed it, Jeff, both clubs don't acquire their players through a single portal. They rely heavily on their drafts, on their international scouting. They're aggressive when it comes to small deals. And incremental deals, for me, are what makes good clubs great clubs, because they're always tweaking. They're taking that 25th and 26th player and improving on them just a little bit. Most general managers aren't very good at that. They focus more on the home run deals and the big name guys. But what did we see last night? We saw, you know, a situation where Siri had a really big hit in the second inning, a guy who was relatively unknown. I mean, Urquidy is not a very well-known player in the game, a great international sign. So I think we're seeing from these two clubs are a couple of baseball lifers in the dugout. There's a great story there. But I also think the way these teams have been composed, and during a really crazy period, this is not an easy postseason to play as many games as they've played with the injuries that both clubs have had, especially the Braves. I think it's a remarkable story, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night, because for me, Game 3 in a 1-1 series is better than any game there is, because usually – I think almost 70% of the time, the winning club in Game 3 in a tied series wins the World Series.
Do you think if the Astros win the World Series, that will change fans' perspective or thoughts about individual players like the Altuves, like the Bregmans, like the Correas? Not the organization as a whole, but the individual player.
It won't for me, Kevin, and I don't think it will for most fans. What they did was deplorable, and they were punished, but I don't know if they were punished as significantly as a lot of us wish they were. But no, I think they're tainted. They're tainted just like the steroid guys who will never get into the Hall of Fame. And I think the jury of the public opinion is such that it's already out, and I don't think it's going to change.
Do you like the way the game is now? You know, because there's a, when you talk to baseball people, longtime baseball men, you know, the people, well, we all, I mean, we know the arguments, right? The stuff that's being done with starting pitchers in the postseason, the shifting pace of play is being talked about, pitch clocks, all of this stuff. And yet, Dan, I look around and almost every team has got a young guy, somebody who's 22, 23 years old. And I look at them and I go, I mean, that's one of the best young players I've seen. It's like every team's got one of them for the most part. Where is this game right now?
Yeah, boy, great point. There's some unbelievably young talent in the game right now. Just what I love is their enthusiasm, their lack of fear of showing emotion, which I think is wonderful. I think it's a great thing that people like. I like where the game is. And, you know, I've evolved just as the game has evolved. And some of the things that people don't like, well, some people just don't like the sun rising in the morning. You know, there's that group. But I think what we see today is an effervescence, youthful game. And sure, the starting pitching situation and openers are different than ever before. But the game has evolved for the last 150 years. And I think if you don't like change, you're not going to like change regardless of what form it's in. What I like is I like the fact that what you said is that the game is evolving into more of a draft and sign situation. So the international impact, which is, you know, 25-28% of our game right now, I think it's great that the game is thriving internationally. But I think more importantly, I think it's great that, you know, here's something that I look at. The networks spend a bundle of money to broadcast games. And what they're spending in escalating numbers is an indicator that the game is thriving and that people still want to watch, because if they didn't, they wouldn't be spending that kind of money from the network level. So, yeah, I like the game. Some things I don't like. But, Jeff, you've been in the game forever, like me. What I like is there's 30 different ways of doing business.
Yeah.
And I think the elite thinkers and the elite teams are always going to be elite, regardless of the landscape, because they can out-strategize and outthink people in the game.
Dan, when you were with the Dodgers, I know that you were involved in opening the Taiwanese player market. I don't know how many Taiwanese players sort of have direct ties to you, but I know that I think you may have had the first Taiwanese player in the majors. If I did.
Three of the first four guys.
Right.
Three of the first four.
So I mean, clearly the scouting of international players is something that really intrigues you. Is that going to change now, do you think, because of, you know, we're coming out of the pandemic now, and for the longest time, you know, players, I mean, there weren't necessarily guys going over from North America to, I shouldn't say the longest time, for 18 months, haven't necessarily had the same travel to Central America and to Latin America and to South America. Is the international market going to change over these next few years, do you think?
Well, first of all, I love the international market, because I think any entry portal of talent is something you have to explore. I mean, look at how basketball and hockey has exploded in the last 25, 30 years with, you know, the advent of international signs. And I think baseball is a great experience for a lot of countries. The game is absolutely exponentially exploding. The WBC has a lot to do with that, but we're going into countries that we didn't go into 20 and 30 years ago. And I think you bring up a great point, Jeff, that the pandemic has probably kept people home. Well, I know it kept me home. I haven't been over there in 2 years. But I think what we see now is the way they're handling the pandemic in some of these countries. And as a result, it's safer and safer to travel. As the restrictions loosen, I think the elite aggressive teams will get back into the market. I mean, I know of at least one team. To get this, Jeff. You and Kevin will be stunned about this. I know of at least one team that never even saw Ohtani play in Japan. And how can you say to your fan base that you're trying to do everything you can when you didn't even go see him? And I remember the last month of Ohtani's chase over in Japan. I'm with the Blue Jays. We had three or four people at just about every game the last month. And there were 10 teams that never saw him play. So to me, Ohtani's, I would just say, stunning season, and I'm not surprised by it. I always thought he was going to be one of the greatest players in the game's history. But I think Ohtani's escalation, along with Tatis and Acuna, I think these guys are helping people throughout the world realize that there's opportunity, and subsequently, because they're going to go where the good players are, teams are going to scout more and more as the pandemic relinquishes its stranglehold on what has gone on the last 18, 19 months.